I can almost assure you that I'm the oddball just based on experience. I don't know how sermons for everyone else come about. I don't know how they originate for others, but for me, I found it to be somewhat of a unique and always changing method. There have been sermons that have come. I've started and didn't have anything but an illustration and built the sermon kind of around that illustration. Had a particular invitation that kind of preached to the invitation, I guess. There have been times in the middle of the night I've woke up with a thought on my mind. I've learned to grab something and write that down. I used to think, oh, that's pretty good. I'll remember that in the morning. No, not. All kinds of ways. There have been times when God would lay a particular topic on my mind, for example, prayer, just begin to search then for the right text to go with the topic. There have been times when it started with the text and, just spoke to me, and from there it grew into a sermon. Various ways. I don't know that any of them's right. Somebody may say that some of them are wrong. I don't know. But this morning is certainly probably one of the first. As I said 2 weeks ago when I preached out of Job chapter 1, I said that someday I'd always thought I wanted to preach through the book of Job. I didn't know that would be now. I had no intention of preaching last week from Job, and that's where we ended up. But last Sunday morning as I was preaching, some of you may remember, that in the sermon I mentioned and referenced the 19th chapter of Job in the 25th verse. And almost immediately, in the middle of that sermon, I knew that that's what I would be preaching on this week. Now, what's odd about that is, like you, I had no idea of the events of this week. I had no idea of what was going to happen here in America, around the world for that matter, with the bombing in Boston, with the fertilizer plant explosion in Texas, with the earthquakes in China. I had no idea about those, and had no clue that some of those that this would be the kind of week that it has been. I just knew then that this was the chapter or the verses that God was already speaking to me about in the middle of last week's sermon, and then all the events of this week transpired, began to say, "Oh God, you do know what's going on, huh? You really can see into the future." That's reassuring. And as I studied this passage, I see such a great lesson, I think, for us. Most of us, in all likelihood, will never be caught up in a bombing at a marathon. I know I certainly won't. I can almost assure you of that I will never be caught up in a bombing at a marathon. In case you don't know, at a marathon they run 26.2 miles. I am 99.9% positive that I will never be caught up in a bombing at a marathon. In fact, I saw a little sticker this week that is pretty good. It said, "If you see me running, you better run too, because something's chasing me." Especially 26 miles. I've been to China. I don't plan on going back, so I don't think I'll be caught up in a Chinese earthquake. And I don't have a clue where the nearest fertilizer plant is. So, and probably you don't either. And so most of us, when we hear those things, while they're certainly devastating, while they've obviously captured the attention of the nation, the world, over the last few weeks, most of us we're thinking, well, we're pretty immune from that. When we read the story of Job, we think, I'm probably fairly immune from the things that that happened to Job. Certainly, in the quantity that they happened to Job. Anyway, if you begin to read the book of Job, when you open Job, you find that Job was a man who, at that point, had he had everything that the world, everything you can imagine. Job had it. Job had wealth. He had fame. He had family. He had land. He had animals. You name it, Job had it. I mean, if you went down the checklist of the things you need to make a good life, most people would say Job had them. And within just a matter of a few hours, Job didn't have them any longer. He lost all of those things. He lost his children, his animals, his servants, his health. All those things were gone. The only thing that he had was that darling wife of his. He still had her. He still had old sweetheart. And she just, she just wouldn't go away. She was there to remind him, just go ahead and curse God and die. That's what you call, I believe that's what Genesis calls a helpmeet. Just curse God and die. That was the support he got from her. And so in a matter of moments, Job lost everything. Everything that Job valued, everything that made Job to most people, was gone. And while most of us sit and we think, that we'll probably never end up like Job, by the time within just a matter of a few verses in this chapter, we have Job sitting out on the garbage dump outside of town, scratching his sores with a broken piece of pottery that he didn't even have money to buy, so he had to have found it in the trash dump. And so he's went from the richest, most wealthy man in town to living at the dump. And so life has certainly changed for him in just a matter of moments. Now, most of us probably think, I'm probably safe from fertilizer plant explosions or some of those kind of things. And in all likelihood, most of us will never endure the quantity anyway and quality of suffering that Job went through between all the devastation that happened in his life. But I think this morning most of us who are here are aware enough, or have enough sense to understand and realize that with the ringing of a phone, our life could turn upside down. With a simple phone call, our life could be radically different. I'm not trying to be negative or pessimistic this morning. I'm just being very real. In a matter of moments, in one doctor's visit, your life could be turned upside down. In one scan, one set of blood work, one x-ray, in a matter of moments, your life could be completely upended in just one simple phone call. You may not be in a bombing. You may not be in an earthquake. You may not, a house may not fall in on your children. Your wife may not come by and tell you to curse God and die. Your servants may not come and tell you you've lost everything. But in a matter of a moment, you could feel just like Job. You could feel like I'm moving to the garbage dump and everything is gone. Well, what do you do when you hit that place? What do you do when you hit what we traditionally call rock bottom? Where do you turn to? Well, what is it that gets you back? For many people, it's their family. Well, that's great, but Job's got a problem. His children are gone. His wife is, his wife. What do you do? And, a lot of people, they turn to their bank account. It's gone. What do you do? Your health. We often say if you don't have your health, you don't have it. Well, Job didn't have his health. Job has lost everything. Well, where do you turn? There's so many things in our life that we really think, I've got a hold of it. I've got it now. And all of a sudden we open up our hands and everything we know, like Solomon says, has vanished like the mist. It's just gone. We think we've got all these things figured out, everything straightened out. Somebody said one time, just when I got it all, everything together, I forgot where I put it. Sometimes that's the way it seems like life goes. We think like we've got everything together, I'm counting on my retirement. I'm counting, and all of a sudden, it's gone. One phone call, one bad investment, one doctor's visit, it's all gone. Where do you turn to? Well, I think Job shows us some things here in these verses that is really the only place we can turn. I don't remember who to give credit to, but somebody has said, when things go wrong, many people fling away from God. He said, but my question is, fling to what? If you fling away from God, what do you fling to? What do you run to when you run away from God? Job shows us that the only thing we can depend on, the only thing we can count on, the only thing that is reliable are the things that God has given us. And so this morning, I want to show you from this passage, again, referenced it last week, but I want to kind of look at it a little more in depth this morning and show you three things that Job teaches us, three things that Job shares with us that were the very foundations of his faith. What was it that Job was built on? It couldn't be on his friends, because they bailed on him. It couldn't be on his wife because she wasn't much. It couldn't be on his friends, his family. All those things are gone. So what is left for Job to hang on to? I want to tell you this morning, my prayer for you is you never get to the place where this is all you've got. You know, my prayer for you is that you never get to the place where these are the only things you have left. But in reality, if you get right down to it, these are the only three things you really have to begin with. You know, you may think you've got all those other things, but when it all comes down to it, we have these three things to depend on, these three things to get us through those rock bottom experiences, those times when everything else is gone, when everything we've known, everything we've depended on has disappeared. It's somewhat impossible. It's not so. It is impossible for me to imagine, as I have read some of the stories out of Texas from that explosion, of basically a whole city gone. You know, everything you've known, everything you're familiar with, everything just wiped out, just gone. It's difficult for me to imagine that. I see sometimes pictures of people going back in to their towns after hurricanes and tornadoes, and everything they've known, everything that is familiar to them, just obliterated. That's something that they thought, most of us think, well, you know, I tell people all the time, I've told you all this before, the lady called me and wanted to do a survey, and I said, go ahead. I don't know why I agreed, but I said, go ahead. She said, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you want to live? Right here. She says, no, really. I said, really, right here. She said, anywhere in the world. I said, lady, write down right here and ask me number two. You know, and it's right here. You know, most of us think, you know, I remember years ago asking Virginia Adams. I asked Virginia, you know, she lived out here. I said, Virginia, how long you lived there? She said, 50 years. I said, you think you're going to like it? She looked at me for a minute. I had to let that one sink in for just a second. You know, think you're going to stay there? You know, most of us think, well, I've got a home. This will be here forever. You know, I'm going to die in this house. You know, I tell people, literally, you think I'm joking. I have doors framed in the walls of my house, you know, that you can't see so that if they ever move out, I can rearrange the floor plan of my house. You know, I'm not kidding. You know, you go in Tenzi's room, there's a light switch that makes no sense. One day it will. You know, because that'll be beside the door that's there. You know, it will. You know, listen, you know, I plan, you know, that's, you know, that is, you know, most of us think that. We think we know the future. We think we've pretty well got a hold on it, and all of a sudden, it's gone. What do we do? Three things Job shows us. Look what he says in this verse. You sung it a few moments ago. You sung it as we sang, I know my Redeemer lives. Job shows us three things that you can count on when everything else is gone. First of all, Job says, you know what? I am going to count on my redemption. I'm going to count on my redemption. Look what he says. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. You know what Job is saying? When Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer, if you've got a Redeemer, that means you've been redeemed, right? I mean, that just adds up. That's just common sense. If you've got a Redeemer, you've been redeemed. And so Job says, you know what? One of the things I know I can depend on through everything else is my redemption. I know I can count on what Jesus Christ, I know what that I can count. And again, Job's Old Testament, he's having to look forward. I'm not even sure Job completely understood everything he said. You know about walking by faith, not by sight? That was Job. Job was saying, you know what? I don't understand it all. I don't see how it's all going to work out, but I am going to trust in my redemption. You know, and think about that for a moment. Job chapter 1 said what about Job? Said Job was basically the most righteous man on earth. Said he was very righteous. Job doesn't say, I know I'm going to count on my own righteousness. What does the Bible say about our righteousness? It says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, as good as you could get, as clean as you can get. Before God, you are still filthy. I'm going to be very honest with you. And some of you who are willing to be honest with me know this is true. I know some people who have never darkened a church door, who are as good and as moral and as ethical as anybody you will ever meet. On the other hand, I know some folks who are regular in church who I can't say that about. How's that? I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that. See, Job doesn't say, I'm going to count on my membership. I'm not going to count on my church. I'm not going to depend on my denomination. Job says the thing that I am aware of is that I needed redeeming. I know, you know, Job says, I need a redeemer. He says, I needed redeeming. There were some things in me that weren't right. Joseph said, I'm not relying on my righteousness. I'm relying on the righteousness of God. One of the things that you can count on, if you're a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, one of the things you can count on, if everything else falls away, is your redemption, is your salvation. See, I know that there are those there that teach and say that you can lose your salvation. I thank God that when I read the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. That salvation is a free gift of God. It says in the book of Romans, Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? And he gives a list and he basically sums it up and says this, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Listen, here's what I know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. But here's what I know. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, one of the things you can count on, when everything else goes poof, you can count on your salvation. You can depend on your salvation. If you know Jesus Christ personally, Job says, you know what? I am counting on that. I am relying on my redemption. One of the beautiful things about this verse that really doesn't show up because it's not in our culture, really, is this word redeemer. The word redeemer there, one of the other words that sometimes it's translated is the word kinsman. And just to really make a long story short here, basically what it meant was, is say Tommy and I are related, and I have some land or some possessions, and I have lost them. I have got them tangled up, and I have lost them through foreclosure or whatever, to use modern terms, as my kinsman, as my redeemer, as my kinsman, Tommy steps up, and he comes in, and he buys back, he redeems that property that I've lost so that it stays in the family. Well, Job says, you know what? I've got a redeemer. One that stepped up when I was in over my head. The devil had already foreclosed, and the kinsman stepped in, shed his blood on the cross, and bought me back. Because the wages of sin is death. We can count on our redemption. Job says not only our redemption, but what makes our redemption so dependable is our Redeemer. When he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. See, what makes your redemption valuable is the fact that, of who it is. Your redemption is what it is because of the Redeemer that paid that price. Job says, well, you know, I've lost my children, I've lost my friends. Well, I wish I could lose my friends, you know, but they keep hanging around. I've got this sweetheart of a wife. You know, I've lost all my flock, all my animals, I've lost my fortune, I've lost everything. But one thing I know, and here's what you, again, Job is believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. It is believed to be the first written. The only other opinion is that Job was possibly written after the law, which would make it the sixth book written. Either it was the first, that is the general consensus, that Job was either the very first book, the oldest book written, or it was written after the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that it was written after the law. Either way, it is a really, really old book. Okay? Whichever way you want to put it, it's really old. The story is really old. And way, way, way back then, Job was saying, you know what? I'm looking for my Redeemer that one day will stand upon the earth. See, I don't even begin to tell you this morning that Job understood everything about that statement. See, I don't believe, honestly, most of the prophets in the Old Testament really understood everything they wrote. They just knew that one day the Redeemer, the Messiah, would stand on this earth. Now, I don't think for a moment Job is talking about the first coming of Jesus Christ. Because the first coming he came, he was born in a manger, he hung on a cross. Job pictures a conquering warrior when he says, one day my Redeemer is going to come and he's going to put one foot on a mountain and one foot on a mountain and he's going to come holding the sword of truth. He's going to come as a conqueror, not a sufferer. Job says, I can count on that. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't know what life holds. Some of you this morning, you may be sitting there and you may be, you know, living the life, you know, just got everything. Everything's going big. You live in large. You know, you couldn't act. You know, your bank account's full. Your health's good. Your family, everything may be wonderful. Great. Hope it stays that way. You might ought to file this back, though, because you may need it one day. You may be the very one that last Sunday morning God said, hey, you need to preach on that passage for. Because it seems like everything in your life, the wheels are falling off and everything's going bad. And you say, I don't know what I can depend on. I can't count on family. I can't count on my job. You know, I don't know what to count on. Let me tell you what Job says you can depend on. You can depend on your redemption, and you can depend on your Redeemer. They may have crucified him, and they may have put him in a tomb. They may have thought they were rid of him. But Job says one day he will stand on the face of this earth. Count on your Redeemer. You can count on his redemption. But the third thing that Job says, it's a little bit, maybe you don't particularly care for his language here. Job says, I can count on my Redeemer. I can count on my redemption, but I can count on my resurrection. Look what he says. He says, and though after my skin, worms destroy this body. Now, some of you may not like that picture, but grow up, get real. Okay? You know, that's reality. Job says, one day, they're going to put me in the ground, and the worms are going to eat this body. Yet, in my flesh, I shall see God. I love the word shall. I hadn't checked it lately. I don't know if it still does or not. I've told you this before. Back when computers first got, you know, everybody got, and word processors came along. If you were to type in a sentence and you were to use the word shall, the spell checker, the language checker would pop up and say, do you really want to use the word shall? That's too strong a word. Wouldn't you rather use might, or maybe, or may, or could? No, I want to use the word shall. Yeah, I can just see him coming along to Job. Job's writing down these words saying, I shall see God. And somebody looking over his shoulder saying, you really want to say shall? Maybe don't you really want to say could or maybe? No, I want to say shall. See, Job says, one thing I can count on, when everything else falls apart, when I've lost everything, I can count on this. I shall see God. Now here's what I like, and again, I know it's not necessarily, you know, it's getting close to lunchtime, but most of you will forget what I've said by then anyway. Look what he says. He says, even though the worms eat my flesh, even though they destroy the body, he said, even though the worms take my flesh and they eat it, they digest it, and I am gone. He says, the day will come when I'm going to see God, and I'm going to see God in my flesh. He said, even the worms of death can't stop that. Look what he says. He goes on and he says, another shall in there. He says, whom I shall see for myself, I shall behold. There wasn't a whole lot of mights and maybes in Job's world. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of could-bes and maybes in Job's world. Job says, I shall see God, and I shall see Him for myself, not another. Job says, I'm not going to be content till I lay my eyes on my Redeemer. I'm not going to be content till I lay my eyes on God. Job says, you know what? You can have reincarnation. I don't want to be reincarnated. You know, I don't want to be reincarnated. That worries me some. Yeah, because they tell me you're reincarnated based on how you acted in this world. I don't want to be reincarnated. That just, you know, I just don't have a bright future in that department. You know, I can see bad things in that area. You know, not for me. You know, this whole thing, when you die, you're dead. You're just buried. I ain't too crazy about that worm eating my flesh and that being the end of the sentence either. You know, I like that there's not a period at that statement where he says, though the worms destroy this body, period. That'd be sad, wouldn't it? Job says, though the worms destroy this body, comma. Yeah, you got to pay attention to punctuation. A lot of times we read the Word of God and we overlook punctuation. Punctuation is very important, says my English teaching daughter-in-law. Very important. It's very important in the Word of God. Though the worms eat my body, comma, I shall see God. See what Job was saying? Job says, you know what? I don't know what this world holds. I don't know what this world's going to give me. And I don't know what this world's going to take away from me. But this I know. I shall see God, and you can't stop it. There is nothing that this world can do to hinder that. Job says, after my body is gone, after it's been destroyed, he said, I don't know. Hey, Job, you understand, at the point Job was sitting at, Job was sitting on the trash heap of town, covered in draining, running sores, scratching with a broken piece of a flower vase, and in agony and misery from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was in pure agony. And Job says, I don't know. My children are dead. My servants are dead. And I may be next. And when I die, they're going to bury me. And the worms may eat my body. But the day will come when I shall see God. You know what Job says? Job says, I'm going to have the last laugh. I'm going to have the last laugh. Job was saying something that the New Testament says that Job had never heard before. Job says this, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the dirt. Yeah. Greater is he that is in me than the worms at the cemetery. Greater is he that is in me. Job says, listen, I don't know what life holds. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're in the exact same boat Job is in. You're looking at a tomorrow. Some of you, you're going to have to go to work tomorrow and you don't know what's going to happen at work. Some of you have got a doctor's appointment this week and you don't know what that doctor's appointment is going to have. Some of you have got things going and you don't know what the answers are. Let me tell you three things you can count on. The banks may fail. The stars may fall out of the sky. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can count on your redemption. You can count on your Redeemer. And you look forward to the resurrection. I had a little man in my first church. He had led the music for many years. And I've probably shared this with you before because it just stirs my heart every time. He'd sit right where Kathy's sitting every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every time he was able to come. He'd developed Alzheimer's and it was going on and getting worse. But he was going to come get in his spot. Summer, winter, fall, he had on his Atlanta Falcons jacket. It didn't matter. He led the music for years. And every now and then I'd look at him and I'd say, Dewey, you want to sing? He'd get up and he got to where he got around kind of slow and he'd come around. And if I remember correctly, we didn't have but one step to the platform then. He'd come up that step and he'd come up there and he'd hobble around there and he'd get up behind that pulpit and he'd say, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Sun and moon may pass away, but Jesus never fails. And he'd go sit down. I think that was the only song left in his mind after having led music for 30 or 40 years. He remembered that even in that shape, even in that condition, Jesus never fails. And I ask you to bow your heads this morning. I'm not sure your battles. Maybe you're the fortunate one. Maybe you're the blessed one. And you're here this morning and you say, I'm not going through any battles. Man, life couldn't be any sweeter. It just couldn't get any better than what I'm enjoying right now. That's great. Maybe you know a friend or family member who's battling, who's struggling. You need to come. You want to kneel at this altar and pray for them. You want to pray for their encouragement. Ask God to help you to be able to help them, to give you the right words to say. Maybe you've been through that valley. Maybe you've been through that struggle and you found that Jesus never fails. That when everything else falls, you can count on your Redeemer, your redemption, and you're looking forward to the resurrection. You just want to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you. I just want to praise you for never bailing, never leaving me, never leaving my side, for being there through it all. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the one that this message is for. You feel like right now you've lost everything and you don't know which way to go. You don't know which way is up. You need to come and kneel. We'll pray with you. This church family as a whole will gather around you and we'll pray that God will be with you and walk with you through every step. Most importantly, you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know Him as your Redeemer. You don't have redemption. You've never been saved. You've never asked Him into your heart. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Whatever God's laying on your heart this morning,